Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to be a little shy this morning of people because I know of 11 people that have called me and said they're sick this morning. So glad you're here. And if you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And there's a couple of announcements I want to bring attention to. We had a chat and sip scheduled today right after service, but that has been postponed until next week. Okay? So no chat and sip today. And also, we've got Nancy Ballou. Is that the way you pronounce your?
Beulah.
Okay. With us today from CEF is sitting in the back, and she's also got some brochures back in the Northex about CEF and what they're all about. And that's one of the organizations we support as a church, and they work in a lot of the schools around the area. So. And today we're blessed to have Hunt Keith with us as our fill-in pastor, as Walt and Annie are out of town. In fact, I got a call from Walt last night, and they're on their way back from Kentucky. They went up to see Noah's Ark up there. But, any other announcements? Okay, if not, would you take your bulletin and let's do the unison reading that's printed on the inside together. And it reads,
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
All right, we'd like to continue to bringing our call to worship. If you would, please stand, if able, and sing the call to worship that's printed in your bulletin, inside cover.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just asking that your presence be here with us. Lord, we ask you to be with those who can't be here for whatever reason. And I know many are sick in our congregation this morning. Lord, we just ask that you reach out and touch them and put your healing hand on them. And I ask that you be with our shut-ins, Lord, and let them know that they're still a vital part of our church and that we miss them seeing them on a regular basis. I ask now that your presence be with us, guide us, direct us, and forgive us for our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now, if you would turn to your hymnal in number 125. Number 125, Come Christians, Join to Sing.
Please be seated. And if you would, take your bulletin and turn to the inside. And we're doing the shorter catechisms, and we're going to do question 47 and 48 this morning. I'll read the question. You do the answer. It's printed in bold in your bulletin. Question 47. What is forbidden in the first commandment?
Which is due to
him alone. 48. What are we specifically taught by these words, before me and the first commandment?
These words before me in the first commandment teach us that God, who seeth all things, taketh notice of, and is much displeased with, the sins of having any other law.
At the time of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read Luke 6:38. It says, Give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it will be measured back to you. At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for our family, protection while we sleep. We pray wisdom, We pray for healing, and we pray your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear, and we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear our desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. This not our home. Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storm, those hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise? Please rise for the doxology.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings here to your storehouse, and we ask, Lord, that you bless each gift and each giver and help us as a church to use these funds wisely, Lord, to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And as I said earlier, we're blessed this morning to have Hunt Keith with us to fill in as a pastor for Walt, who is out of town and will be back on Tuesday. But Hunt's not a stranger to our church. He's been here before, and he's the assistant pastor with Child Evangelist Fellowship with Jason Beverly, and that's one of the many organizations that we support with our tithes and offerings, and they do a lot of good work in the school community, especially around the area. And so, Dave, welcome to our pulpit this morning.
Glad to be here. I think we're supposed to have the pastoral prayer. Good morning, everybody. Isn't it good to be here together? I'm so sorry that so many are out sick. And we just pray that God be with them. We'll pray for them this morning. But I do have a word to share with you this morning that's on my heart. And so we'll get into that. Lord, we just thank you, Jesus. We need you so much, Lord. We need you. God, if there was ever a time that we needed you, we need you now. Lord, with all that is going on, the chaos, the looks like the country's flipped upside down. God, you're steady as a rock. You're the rock upon whom we stand. And doesn't matter what's going on around us, Lord. You never waver. You said, I am the Lord, I change not. And we thank you that you are the stabilizer of our heart and our life. We lift up those that are fighting sickness, Lord God. We ask for complete and full recovery from these illnesses, COVID and whatever, the flu. I can't believe the flu is around. Lord God, already, we thank you for their healing. We lift up John, that God, you would recover him in the situation, the illness that he's dealing with, God, because you are the great physician. And Jesus, we turn him over to you. And we give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. There's to be a number. Okay.
If you would, please stand and turn to number 165. Jesus, draw me near. Please stand. 165. After pastoral prayer, Jesus, draw me near, or am I on the wrong week?
Yeah.
I'm on the wrong week.
Got too many bulletins up here.
Okay, so we won't do 165. We will do 179. You know, you can always tell when the pastor's not here. Everything seems to work kind of differently. So 179. And Keith, do we need to use the wireless for Hunt? Yep, there's a wireless.
No.
This isn't even on.
It's on.
Oh, well, it's not.
Look behind the phone. Look behind. If it don't
glad to.
Well, we can't, we got a congregation can't even hear you.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I'm trying to, and I got...
Well, it was a silent prayer this week.
So what we're going to do is, if you would, please just sing out so everyone on the CD can hear it, okay? All right, so number 179, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
All right, can y'all hear me now? Can you hear me? All right, I'll bend over. Praise the Lord.
You can use the wireless.
Oh, it will work now.
It should.
Test.
Turn it off.
Test.
Test.
It's not working.
Doesn't sound like it's working.
Test.
Just talk loud.
I'll talk loud. My wife says I talk real loud.
I shouldn't have said that. She would have gotten after me if she'd been here. Y'all, I do want to share a little bit about Child Evangelism Fellowship, which you support. You're one of our most avid supporters of what we do with CEF. We have Good News Clubs, which are the Bible clubs in the elementary schools. And the pandemic shut us down pretty good as far as the public schools were concerned, because they were shut down. But we're wonderfully growing. The schools are thrilled to have us back in. And we are growing like gangbusters. And you are a very real part of what God is doing through Child Evangelism Fellowship. We also have spectaculars, which are inflatables. The kids get to jump and bounce, and there's a big dragon, and you go in his...
Whoa, that's a little
Yeah, I can hear that real well. So anyway, we have the kids can go in the dragon's mouth and they come out the back end. So we have to have a monitor in the front and a monitor in the back. And but the neat thing is that every one of these children, they come, they all get to hear the gospel shared. And we see many children come to the Lord. Also, we had the CYIA missionary kids that were involved with the five-day clubs that y'all support very much, which we deeply appreciate. And right now, I'm working all hours at the fair. We've got a booth at the fair. So far, Nancy, I made a mistake. I told you 176 that we were seeing. We actually have seen and shared the gospel with 660.
Whoa.
And we have seen 27 children. Not just children, I'm talking about children and adults that have accepted Jesus into their heart, that we've shared the gospel with. And one story I'll tell you, that thing is still whistling. Can y'all hear me right here? Pretty good? All right. So anyway, had this two couples that came up, I think they were double dating, probably in their 20s, came up. And I shared with them the gospel through a EvangiCube, which is a wonderful tool to use. And when I finished, I asked them, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? And the one girl on the left, she said, yes, she had. And the other guy and the girl, girl said that, well, they just looked at me with a sort of a dead face. But this one guy over here, he had real long hair, and he had a band around his head. I'm an old hippie, y'all. But I want you to know, I grew up in the First Presbyterian Church now. I just strayed really bad when I went to school. But I'm set free now. But anyway, here's this guy over here, and he's got a band around his head. And I said, would any of you like to accept Jesus as your Savior, Lord? He said, yes, I would. Now, this is in a double dating situation. Think about yourself back when you used to be dating, and you are there, and you're some guy that's talking to you about the Lord. You're thinking, I don't want to be uncool in this situation. I don't want my date to think I'm some kind of kook or something. He accepted Christ in his heart. He said he was excited that Jesus was in his heart. We gave him a Bible. We told him about a church he could go to, or there were plenty of churches in the area, and we just watched God with these 27 that have come to know the Lord. Y'all, I'm telling you, it's so exciting, it's hard to believe it, because you're seeing darkness fly away and light in the hearts of these kids. We had one 55-year-old man give his heart. Jason led to Jesus. It's just amazing. And I can tell you right now, the hunger to hear is greater than we have ever seen it. The Gideons were out there at the fair too. They said the same thing. Said, it's amazing. They're coming up. I was in the Jesus movement. I was in the hippie movement. But I was also came into the Jesus movement. That's where I got turned around and gave my heart and life to Jesus. But anyway, it was in the air back then. I don't know if any of you remember it or were part of it, but it was so amazing. It was so amazing. We used to, on the South Carolina campus, there were a lot of witches on the campus. And we'd go find out where they were, and we'd go in there and say, Jesus! And they'd go running off screaming. They'd go running off screaming. There was another man, they called him the gray man. He wore gray moss,
moss, you know, out of the trees down in the low country. He wore gray moss and he wore this gray coat, and it was a time that I wrote a song. I am straying from my message. Terrible, but we would get there. So anyway, there was this guy that sat out in front of the Russell House, which is at the University of South Carolina, and he would sing. He sold popsicles, and he would sing, "A nickel and a nickel is a dime, got a whole lot of children and none of them mine."
Oh my goodness!
And I wrote this song. That was the era we were in. You talk about unstable. You know, with the hippie movement, they were burning the flags at the campuses. At the University of South Carolina, they took over the administration building. They had to bring the state troopers and the National Guard onto the campus. It was a very unstable time in the United States of America. It was a time when we hated, not us, but a lot of people hated what was going on in Vietnam. We shouldn't be there. And they despised the soldiers when they would come home. You remember what it was like. It was a terrifying time in this country, like it is right now. And what came after that terrible, unstable time, the government, Tricky Dicky, you know? I mean, and high inflation, Carter, and all the mess that we're going through. Here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Oh my gosh, with the Jesus movement. We had Jesus marches in towns. We had one in Columbia. And God gave me, when I gave my heart to the Lord, He got me out of drugs and He gave me songs, you know, and some guy that was leading the Jesus march we were having in Columbia, he said, "Hey, would you like to sing at the Jesus march that we're going to end up at the Capitol steps?" And so I agreed to it. Never sang in public ever in my whole life. But anyway, so I get up there in front of like 3,000 people, and I sing these songs. The guy that spoke, his name was Rick Carino, was former Hell's Angel. His dad was Zorro in the movies. He was going to Columbia Bible College, Columbia International right now. The guy's dad was Zorro. He came out of the mice. He went to a Presbyterian church, but he used to steal money out of the collection plate. He got into the Hell's Angels. But when he came to the Lord, he came to the Lord through Billy Graham. When he would share his testimony, when he'd get up and preach in a Presbyterian church, he had the same, I hate to use statistics, but he had the same percentage of people coming to the Lord that Billy Graham did. They set up crusades for him all over the southeastern part of the country, southwestern part of the country. And we get together at this Jesus march. So he invites me to go with him to these Billy Graham Association crusades. And we go and we see 10,000 people give their hearts to Jesus around the country. We are coming into, y'all, we're coming into the greatest awakening that this country has ever seen, that the world has ever seen. I fully believe that we're on the cusp of that. In the middle of all this mess that we're facing, and I know the stress it is on you, because I know the stress it is on me, because we love America, and Jesus loves this country. And we belong to Him, but I'll tell you what, a lot of us been stuck in a cave like you. And some of this adversary that's going on is to get us out of the cave. It was time for Gideon to get out of the cave. It's time to go to war. It's time to stand up against those who are saying the Bible's not true, it's antiquated, we don't need it anymore, we don't need the Ten
We don't need that. It's time to stand up and say, God does not lie. The word is true, and it will not be erased or eradicated. They tried to do that. Hitler tried to do it. It will not happen because God, this is his home. This is his place. It belongs to him. And so I believe we're on the cusp of the greatest times of our life. I believe we're all here for such a time as this. Amen. Amen. And I want to thank y'all so much. I mean, every one of these children that come to the Lord, you are a part of. Not everybody can be out there in the front of somebody, right? We can't. But everybody is needed. We're all needed, and we're all a part, in whatever part. And y'all play, at this church, you play a very important part to these children. You are a part of them receiving Jesus. You rejoice in your God because you are part of that. It's wonderful. We appreciate you so much. Nancy is going to share a little bit more about Good News Clubs at the end, if y'all would like. She's going to be in the back. We need volunteers. There's things that she can tell you about that if you're interested and you feel the Lord's leading, we would love to talk with you. She would love to talk with you and share with you. And it's not strenuous work, you know. It's simple. It's being before children. And it's, I'm just telling you, it's wonderful. The Lord is pulling on your heart to be a part. I wanted to share with y'all a scripture. Now we'll get to the... Nancy, can you stand up so everybody knows? Can everybody see Nancy back here?
Well, I'm just waiting.
That's good.
It takes too long to stand.
Thank you, Nancy.
Can I say something?
Yes.
We've seen, since March of this year, we've seen 2,160 people, children and adults, and 176 have received the Lord with your 27.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want the text is Philippians 4, 6, and I'm going to add 7 to it to make it a full sentence. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep, which actually means guard, shall keep guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're going to talk about prayer, but I want to preface, y'all, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. Now, how is anybody supposed to do that? Have you thought about it? Be anxious for nothing. If it said be anxious, don't be anxious about the small stuff. I can handle that. But when it says be anxious for nothing, what? God didn't just say that because it's a nice thing to say. It's not just pretty language. He meant that we be anxious about nothing. Okay, you mean it. I'm up in age. Tell me, how do we do that? I want to share with you about intimacy and prayer that is an important part of how to deal with anxiety in your life. Because the Bible says that when we, through prayer and intercession with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to him. unto him, that the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. You know, a lot of sickness and a lot of illness comes through problems in the heart and in the mind. And that is stemmed from anxiety, fear, and worry. Anxiety, fear, and worry hit home, hits home with me. The Bible says, but in everything by prayer. The word prayer there in the Greek, in the Strong's Concordance, means worship. And what it denotes, y'all, is intimacy with the Lord. Intimacy with Jesus. We've gotten the idea that God is in the heavens, which he is, but we know he's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. There's no place. If I go down into hell, there he is. We deal with God like sometimes he has someone that's recording what we're saying in prayer. We tell him a list of things. That's fine. But that's not just what prayer is. Your list. Sometimes we like to, when we're in a group in prayer, we like to tell a story, sort of here, and Lord, I was doing this and I was doing that, and we sort of go with it, and that's fine. But we really are telling the people that are listening about a story, and then we're going to pray about it. We can get in front in a pulpit, and we can pray, and we can sound like with beautiful words and language make a beautiful prayer. I want to encourage y'all. Can y'all hear me well? Can you hear me?
Oh, just making sure.
Jesus is with each one of you. Every second of every day, he's with you. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. He can't get enough of you. He loves you. And when you pray, I had to change it with the kids. I don't tell them prayer because prayer sometimes scares them. You know what prayer is, y'all? In simple language, it's just talking. It's just talking to him who's right here with me. The love of my life, and I'm the love of his life. I'm his favorite, by the way. So I told my wife, Monica, I said, Monica, your relationship with God,
is your relationship. It's between you and God. I'm not in there. My relationship with my Lord is my relationship with him. And y'all, I want to encourage you that prayer is not a work. It's a communion that you've been given free, free, free with someone who can't get enough of you. I'm going to read you something. My sister just has been going through a serious condition.
and that we found out about. And I want to read a letter that God, I felt, put on my heart to share with her. But it's a letter that I'm reading almost every day because I need it so much. You may already know this, but I want to tell you what I have found. Many times it is easy to pray like Jesus hears us and he's in heaven listening to us. But we see him as cryptic, so we understand that we don't understand him. That's a quote from C.S. Lewis out of Chronicles of Narnia. But this is not true. This is what the daughters of Jerusalem tried to do to the Shunammite girl in Song of Solomon, or what the religious and well-meaning but misled Christians often do to young Christians in the church. They teach a Jesus that has every right to be austere, misunderstood, and this should be okay. So Jesus becomes loving when he wants to and austere when he wants to. And when we talk to him, we feel alone while we pray. We know he hears us, but we don't know what he thinks about things. So we live with a big question mark. Actually, Jesus is fully and wholeheartedly so in love with us that we would melt just to see him and how true this is. Jesus is right there with you right now. He is always watching you, right there beside you. He can't wait for you to look at him. It thrills him. Here is what I do every time I sit to pray and talk to Jesus. I pray for a couple of minutes with my thoughts on him who is here beside me. And in just a few minutes, it's like my heart is fully connected to Jesus. He is not someone I am talking to, and yet I'm alone. He and I are communing with each other. You are so convinced at this point of how much Jesus loves and cares about you that you don't have to try and have faith to believe he will take care of you and meet your financial crisis or help your children or whatever it is. Jesus wouldn't do otherwise. He wouldn't do otherwise. He is, God is love. And whatever he does is out of the heart of love. Now abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. The Christian life is not this tedious do's and don'ts. We're all messes. I'm 71 years old, and I declare before you right now, I am a mess. You can ask my wife. I promise you, she will agree. But that's not what life is about. When you raised your children, weren't your children messes? Weren't they something? And you couldn't get enough of each one of them. Although sometimes you were glad to be released from them.
But that's how God is with us. He loves you so much. All right. It is faith based on who He is and how much He is in love with you. So, of course, you are in Jesus' sweet hands. This is the real Jesus. This is Him, y'all. This is Him. This is really Him. Isn't it wonderful? It really is Him. The one we fell in love with when we came to Him. He's not mean and He's not hard. Jesus is wholeheartedly falling all over Himself in love with you, and He cannot get enough of you. You truly are the apple of His eye. You are His favorite all the time, and so is every one of us. He just can't get enough of you. I have been living in this understanding for some time. It blows my mind every day. That's why I have to read it every day. Every day, by the end of the day, I'm convinced that I go through fear, anger, getting down, discouraged. But I have this wonderful Jesus who is with me. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. God is the initiator. It's religion. I'm not talking about a church. I'm talking about religious thinking sometimes. And when Jesus came, the Sanhedrin had lost it, you know? The Jews had missed out. They thought it was all duties and all this stuff. And when Jesus showed up, they didn't know who He was. And we, even New Testament believers, get caught up in things that make us think that this Christian life is pretty drudgery. I mean, it's not. It is a fresh relationship with Jesus every day. It is meant to be for you. You have found the pearl of great price. And it is Him. And this is what, y'all, the world needs. This is what the world needs. You see, in America, we've gotten caught up in mammon. There's a big bull up on Wall Street, right? Reminds me of a calf. Do you remember about a calf? Moses is up getting the Ten Commandments from the Lord. He comes back down, and the people have made a wonderful calf that they're worshiping. And we've looked at this bull and said, he's the key to my provision. When the people of Israel, they weren't in Israel yet, but the people of God left when Pharaoh had to let them go. And God showed Pharaoh every one of those gods he put down. The last one was Moloch. They killed all the children. They killed a lot of the children of the Jews. Lo and behold, Pharaoh himself lost his son. The desert they went in, I've got a friend who has been in that desert. It is not just like a desert out in California or out in Texas, where there's a lot of growth. It is hard red, burnt looking, barren. The people went there, and God fed them with manna every day for 40 years. He fed them. There is a missionary in Africa who started preaching, she and her husband, began preaching in the dump. And the flies were so bad, it was hard to imagine what it was like. But they grew that ministry. She came out of a wealthy home from Massachusetts, Heidi Baker. And they have 6,000 children that they've adopted. And she said, "You're not going to believe this. I don't believe it myself. God multiplies the food every day to feed those children." God doesn't need your 401k to take care of you. He is and means to be beside you every minute. In fact, when it says, "I will never leave you or forsake you" in Hebrews 5:13, it's talking about provision. He is with you. He will feed you. He will take care of you. He will be your provision, no matter what happens to the old bull up there. You got a real Jesus, and he's stable, and he protects his children like you protect yours, and you are his kids. I want to tell you a real story, a true story. I've got a friend named Ed Bell. He's on our committee. Can't get there very often, but you've seen the stuff on Camp Lejeune. That's his case. He's down in Debbie Dew in the beach area, South Carolina. And he said it's the largest governmental fraud case in the history of America. In other words, the government was involved in fraud and had been caught, and he caught them. And so that's what that's about. There was 200,000 people that died from toxic water that was covered up. So this is Ed Bell. Well, I'm going to finish with this story. We were riding to a hearing. This was back in the 90s. He and I were going to a hearing, and he was, my dad led him to the Lord, by the way. And he was, but he was after money. I mean, big time. He, big time lawyer. He's now, he's the president of Charleston Law School. He took it out of bankruptcy, $6 million. But what I want to tell you is when we were riding down the road, he's telling me about someone who had a very intimate relationship with Jesus. Mother Teresa. And some businessman put together $3 million in a trust fund. And they excitedly went to see Mother Teresa to tell her that, "Mother Teresa, you're not going to have to worry about money, anything else, anything the rest of your life. You won't have to think about anything but just doing what you're doing and reaching souls. And we just wanted to tell you that we've done that for you." And she said, "You know, I appreciate what you're trying to do." And said, "If you want to give me the $3 million, I've got plenty of places where I can use that right now. But Jesus has taken care of me so wonderfully, I don't want to change a thing." That grips me. When Ed said that, he's driving the car. I'm in the car. He is bawling because he knows what he would do with that $3 million.
I know what I would do, what I would think about doing. But imagine that she actually turned that down. That's how real your Jesus is. That's how real he is. That's how real he cares. He will take care of you. I've seen very wealthy people, haven't you, that are scared out of their wits. I understand it. There's a greater relationship, y'all, in intimacy in your prayer. Know that you're talking to him. You're talking to the one who just thinks you have shot the moon. This is the word, y'all. This is the scripture. It's a love story. Sometimes we can get caught up in all kinds of reading of scriptures. How much did I read? How many times did I go through? I want to encourage you. And this is 12 o'clock. I want to encourage you. What's God dealing with you right now about? That's where he is. See what God's word says about where you are right now. Whatever it is, we're dealing with a real God that walks with us and knows every stitch of us and knows what we are going through. See what God does. It's a walk with him. And he reveals himself in our situations. We can be studying some particular subject in the Bible. Great. But what is going on in your life is where you need to ride the bike. The Bible's not about how much we memorize. I told my children not to memorize scripture. I'm not saying it's wrong. I've memorized a whole lot of scripture, and they do memorize scripture. But I didn't want them to depend on that, to think that that's what they know in their heart. What we know in our heart is what is real to us. The Bible's meant to be a teacher when we face things. And so a lot of times we can intellectually assent to God's word, but we've never ridden that bike. I don't need somebody to start telling me how to raise kids if they've never rode the bike. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear somebody tell me. I want somebody that has experience in that area. In other words, this is real. What we live in is a real world, and we need a real Jesus that deals with us where we are and helps us through every moment. And you know what? Every day I wake up and say, I can't do it. I have to remind myself, because I used to really have, I could get egotistical about all that I was doing till I found out I wasn't doing anything. It's what God does through us, and it's all his glory, and it will never be yours, and it'll never be mine. It's all Jesus. It's all about him, because he gave us everything we got. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by his faith. You know, a lot of times I don't have enough faith. I don't depend on me. I never did have enough. But he lives on the inside of me, and guess what? God believes. He believes. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We thank you so much. I just ask that everything that's from you, Lord God, that it be used for your glory, and anything that I said that wasn't of you, Lord, that it be wiped away. We are so dearly grateful for you, Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, please stand and turn to number 170, the correct one. And we will sing the first three verses before the benediction, and then we will sing the fourth verse after the benediction. So 170, please stand. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
Lord, we give you all the glory and the praise. And we give you all the glory and the praise and all the thanksgiving. You are our God, and we are your people. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.